This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. It's a Final Four podcast. Chris Graham, Zach Peerless is joining me, and we're going to be on our way to the Final Four, which is just amazing to say. Not only is Virginia going to Minneapolis, but AFP's tagging along for the ride. Zach will be there. We're recording this podcast on Wednesday. He's leaving Thursday. He'll be there for all the media festivities leading up to Saturday's tip. I don't leave till Saturday. I've got VMI, ESPN responsibilities Friday night. I'll be flying into Minneapolis at 3 o'clock local time for a 5 o'clock local tip, so I'll get the quick experience, at least for Saturday's game. So we're there. That'll be cool. We're getting you ready now for Auburn, and both of us have written preview columns, our takes on this matchup, Virginia and Auburn. And Zach, the headline of your story says a lot. Turnovers and three-point defense, especially important for Virginia against Auburn. This Auburn team will try to speed up Virginia. A lot of teams do that, and most teams aren't successful. But Auburn has been speeding up teams all tournament long. So tell us about the Tigers and the challenge they present to UVA.
Yeah, so Auburn basically sticks out to two categories. They force a ton of turnovers, and they shoot a ton of threes. And if you can do both of those things well, you can beat a lot of teams, and if you struggle in either of those areas, you can lose to a lot of teams, and that's why we saw Auburn throughout the year kind of be an up-and-down team. They had some really good wins. Obviously, they won the SEC tournament, which was really impressive from that team, but they also had some bad losses. They lost to Ole Miss, which was a bubble team that happened to get in. They lost to them twice. They had some struggles, and so Virginia, you know, if they can be okay in those two areas, they should have a really good shot. Auburn is quick. They like to play fast. They like to rotate guys in. But again, the reason that they play fast is because they pressure the ball so much. If you can hold on to the ball and be careful with it, then you can slow them down. They can't get out of transition, and that's really where they struggle.
I'm impressed, and I'm sure a lot of folks were impressed, that Auburn was able to overcome the loss of Chuma Okeke in the Carolina win. Late in that game, it was about 7 minutes ago in that game, so the game wasn't quite wrapped up when he got hurt. Third leading scorer on this team, but the leading post guy on this team, 6'8", 230, big guy. And you look at that matchup then with Kentucky, a team that had beaten them twice this year, and you say, they got no chance. Kentucky's a team that this year has a lot of, you know, their best players are inside players, P.J. Washington particularly. And so how will Auburn compete at all with a bigger team? And what's interesting is they competed against a bigger team by going even smaller and playing that pressure defense. If you can't pass the ball in the post basically because your guards are being hawked, then you can't beat us in the post was effectively the strategy, and it worked. And you look at all the stats, though, in that game. The stats still don't add up. I mean, it was not your typical Auburn win. Kentucky still had the advantage points in the paint in that game. They still had a rebound advantage. Auburn only shot 30% from three-point range, but they didn't have a huge advantage in points off turnovers. But, you know, maybe just the fact that Kentucky had 14 turnovers in that game, that's 14 less chances you have to score. Auburn was able to ugly that game up enough to win that game. And that is, you know, so I say that, Zach, I want to get your thought on this. Virginia seems to play its best with that four-guard lineup. We've talked about that a lot on our podcast. You've written about that quite a bit. The four-guard, if you want to call DeAndre Hunter a guard at the college level, I guess he is, a four-guard lineup with Mamadou Diakite at the five is Virginia's best lineup. So it seems like a lot of strength against strength here. You know, both these teams play best when they play four-guard, one center lineups. You know, does either team have the advantage thus because of the way we can expect personnel to be used on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, I think I'll go back and talk about that Kentucky game. You know, you brought up the 14 turnovers. 14 turnovers is a lot of turnovers, especially in, you know, you think about the numbers that UVA wants to put up. They've been really good not turning the ball over. If they can keep it, I think, under double-digit turnovers, that's a big win for them. Auburn is first in the nation in a category, kind of interesting category, called extra scoring chances. And that's basically how many extra, you know, chances to put the ball in the bucket do you get based off of offensive rebounds and off of turnovers. So if you can't get a shot up, you can't score. And Auburn thrives on not allowing opponents to get a shot up. you mentioned those four guy lineups. I think you'll see a lot of Kihei Clark. Obviously, that's a guy who's been huge for this tournament run. And he's, you know, he's a guy who has done really, really good things. Obviously, you know, we saw Carson Edwards, and there wasn't a whole lot more Kihei could do. But in those last two shots near the end of the overtime session, Kihei was right there and made some tough shots. He's going to be really key here against Auburn's speed. And then you look at the guards around them. UVA isn't known as a fast team or a quick team, obviously, but Kihei Clark is very quick. Kyle Guy is certainly quick enough to keep up. Ty Jerome's a little bit of a bigger guard, so not quite as quick, but he can certainly take up more space. And then DeAndre Hunter is a really good athlete for his size. And then Mamadi Diakite is a guy who can certainly hold his own if he gets caught in a switch. So UVA, you know, it's not a fast team. It's the slowest team in the nation, but that doesn't mean they don't have quick players, and that can really help UVA. When you think about Auburn, you think about outside scoring. They get over 40% of their points from three. It's really impressive, and then they basically have no inside presence. You talked about Okiki was a guy who could go and get his own bucket inside. But other than that, you know, with him down, they don't have a ton of inside scoring presence. And that's something that's good for Virginia because you can't just hammer away. Obviously, the pack line defense wants to keep you out of the paint. But you can see Virginia will be okay going with those four guard perimeter outside defenses because they have the quickness, at least in the personnel, to keep up. And then obviously they have the physicality of those big guards in Jerome and Hunter that can make like life tough on the smaller guards of Auburn.
You know, I like in your column because you point out some similar teams to Auburn that Virginia played this year just to get fans thinking, I guess. It got me thinking about how this game might play. You know, for example, when Virginia played Oregon, I thought Florida State, at least defensively, Oregon, big, athletic. And that game played a lot like the second Florida State Virginia game in terms of Virginia's offensive struggles. You point out maybe some comparisons for Auburn could be one would be NC State, another could be Duke defensively, and VCU, another one that comes to mind. You know, both NC State games. Now Virginia won the ACC tournament game by 20 points, but they were trailing in the second half of that one. You know, ran away late with that one. But the first game went to overtime. Virginia won by 1 point in Raleigh. Duke swept Virginia this year. The VCU game in JPJ was a tight game. Virginia was down with 7 minutes to go, won that game, I think, by nine eventually. But so those were comparison games. And I saw Auburn play – I only saw Auburn play 40 minutes once this year. It was way back in November, Duke in the Maui Classic. When I use the term ugly the game up, that's what they did against Duke too, another team that, like them, likes to run. But that's what most impressed me about them was it's not pretty basketball. It's not a lot of X's and O's. It's just, you know, they'll slop it up, but they're good at that. They're, you know, it's kind of like the old saying about, you know, don't get in a wrestling match with a pig in the mud because you'll both get dirty. The pig likes it. If you play their style, they like that style. NC State, Duke, and VCU, they do come to mind. And those games were all struggles for UVA this year. So I think that's a good comparison point.
Yeah, I think that you bring up a good point. You know, some teams play fast and they love to be really efficient offensively and make basketball, you know, when they're playing well, they make it a really beautiful game. And sometimes teams play fast and they want to make it as ugly as possible. And I'm not saying Auburn wants to make it as ugly as possible, but they're fine making it that way. They're fine, you know, getting a little bit out of control. They have some turnover issues as well sometimes. But really, if they can, you know, force turnovers and simply get more shots, that's a huge plan for success for them. You know, you look at a team that they're not going to run the prettiest offensive sets. They're not always going to get the best shots. But on the other end, as long as the other team isn't getting good shots or even getting shots at all, they're still within their game plan. One of the things that I think is impressive about Auburn, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, is that they're really deep. And when you saw a guy like Chuma Okeke come out with that injury, you saw that they still had the personnel to survive. They've got, you know, they still go nine deep at this point. They have plenty of size on the wings. even though their guards are a little bit smaller. So really, it's a really impressive team simply because they have all those bodies. And when you can get a few guys going from three, they become really dangerous simply because of how many they shoot. You know, they'll have seven or eight different guys that'll shoot up a three. There's, you know, they have three inside guys that rotate in and out, and two of them have shot over 100 threes this year. It's a really busy outside shooting team, and if they can shoot the ball, as you know, if they can get up more shots than Virginia, that's exactly what they want. They want to constantly be getting good looks, or not even good looks. They just constantly want to get the shot up.
Yeah.
And then on the other end, they want to limit Virginia's ability to do that.
Yeah, you know, when I was looking at this, yeah, I was looking for what they do well and what they don't do well. And I found a lot they do well. I found just maybe really one thing that I don't think they do well. But we've talked about this, what they do well. They shoot the three, 37.9%, but the volume, almost 50%. It's 49.5% of their shots are threes. That's just amazing. They throw them up there, and you know, they have guys who can make them. They force the turnovers, as you mentioned. They lead the nation in opponent turnover percentage. It's just that's what they do. The less chance you have to score, the better. And pace, of course, the pace is a big thing. All four of their NCAA tournament games went over 70 possessions. Virginia only played one game all season that went over 70. That was that really odd Marshall game, 100-64 win over Marshall back on December 31st. That game had 76 possessions. And I watched that game, and I wouldn't have told you watching it that it had 76 possessions. But that's the only one that went over 70, and they played the overtime game. The overtime game with Purdue only had 59, so that's just amazing in itself. So they'll try to speed it up. Virginia won't let them. Virginia won't force. I mean, Virginia forces teams to play their style, and the battle will be won there by Virginia. It's just now a matter of how efficient Auburn can be in that. The one thing they don't do well, but this is explained by their style. They rank 333rd nationally in defensive rebounding percentage, but that's a team that fast breaks a lot too, though. They're not crashing the boards with five guys. They'll leak a couple guys out because if they get the rebound, they're throwing it up the court and trying to, you know, get ahead of your defense getting set up, which against a team like Virginia is a good strategy. Don't let Virginia set up the half court defense. So they rank pretty low in defensive rebounding percentage. Virginia ranks in the top third in offensive rebounding percentage. It's not something Tony Bennett teams normally do that well. The pack line defense and the whole system is predicated upon offense, you know, floor balance basically. But this team is actually over 30% in offensive rebounding percentage, first time since 2014-2015. So they will try a little bit more to get the offensive boards. So that's the only thing I would say that Auburn doesn't do well. But I'll own it. I think they ugly it up, but I think it's strategy. It's not just sloppy ball. It's not roll the ball out there kind of ball like you see some coaches do. It's by design. And They're better at the helter-skelter basketball than you are, and they win games when they assert their will. So it'll be a clash of wills when we see these two teams play Saturday.
Yeah, I agree. And when you look at the games that have impressed me most with Auburn, it's the last two games. Obviously, they went in and put up a huge number and beat North Carolina, which, you know, North Carolina was a legit, very legit, reasonable pick to win the national title. They had played well all season. They were a really good team who could really score. And Auburn came in and shot a bunch of threes and made a bunch of threes and, you know, forced 14 turnovers. That was Auburn playing Auburn basketball at its best. Got a little bit helter-skelter. And that was even in a game where North Carolina loves to run. So Auburn was fine in that regard, and they really imposed their will there. Then against Kentucky, you again get the turnovers. And there the difference really was the guard play. You could see the experience of Jared Harper and Bryce Brown, and you see those young Kentucky guards, and they couldn't handle the pressure well. They couldn't ever get comfortable. That's one thing that I'm at least a little bit encouraged about for UVA, is that UVA has guards that are experienced. They've played, as I mentioned, you know, they've played teams like this and pulled out wins when teams like to make it ugly. You know, Ty Jerome isn't going to get phased. Kyle Guy isn't going to get phased. Really, I think, you know, Kihei Clark, for everything we've seen, he might be the least phasable of any of them, considering what we saw him do against Purdue. So, you know, it's a UVA team that I think one of the things that they preach on here, the calm is contagious idea, that, you know, we can play calm and we can still be effective while, you know, staying within our system. That's going to be really of peak importance. You know, if Auburn forces a couple turnovers back-to-back and gets on a little 6-0 run, can Virginia hang in there and be okay? And we've seen throughout the season that they have been. So we'll see what they do. Obviously, having, you know, 4 or 5 days to prepare is super helpful for this team, but they will, their guards will be tested, and I think that'll be a really interesting subplot.
I want to talk with you about your column from Monday of this week about Momni Diakite and a conversation you had with Coach Tony Bennett before the NCAA tournament started, and how that, I mean, Diakite was, he scored 13 points, had 9 rebounds a game, shot 68% from the floor in the NCAA tournament in the South Regional. Obviously, you know, as important as everybody else was to this, he was the guy who stepped up the most. And not to mention that he made the basket that sent it to overtime on that great pass from K.A. Clark. Talk about your column and that conversation and how things really turned around for him in these last couple weeks.
Yeah, so I was talking to Tony Bennett on the Final Four teleconference, and I basically said, you know, what changed for Momni? He struggled so much in Charlotte in those two ACC tournament games, like you mentioned, and really he had been tapped as a guy who can be a huge contributor. You know, he is really improving quickly. He's pretty new to the game, still having only picked it up in an organized fashion in high school. He's a really athletic guy. He has some skill. He's a big man who can shoot a little bit from the outside, but also score in the post. And then defensively, he's everything you could possibly want in a pack line defender as long as he stays disciplined. And he just didn't do that in the ACC tournament. He, you know, picked up fouls at a really alarming rate. I think he had 5 fouls in 20 minutes combined in those two games. And so he sat down with Tony Bennett and said, "Coach, I'm ready. You know, I wasn't at my best for whatever reason in these last two games, but I'm ready. I'm really dedicated to making this team go far in advance. I know what happened last year." You know, he's, you know, you think of him as being new to the game, but he's also now a veteran at Virginia. He's been here for 3 years as a player and then also redshirted a year. So he's a guy who's kind of been through the ups and downs with this team, and he's seen some, you know, late March runs, but he's also seen the worst loss in college basketball history. So he essentially just reassured Tony Bennett that he could be the player that the Cavaliers saw throughout the season, and he was absolutely right. He's been terrific on both ends. One of the things that I've been impressed with is that he's kind of been the guy who can play with whoever. You know, we saw him with Jack Salt against Purdue, but we also saw him as the biggest man on the court against Gardner Webb. We saw him be the featured big man and really play really well against Oklahoma. We saw him against the length of Oregon. He's really been a guy who can fit any matchup. And you look in this game, you're not going to see a whole lot of Momni Diakite and Jack Saul. That's just not kind of the grinding style that is going to be available in this one. But Diakite, again, is really well made for this game. Auburn has some big men who I mentioned will step out and shoot the three. They have some athletic forwards as well and some quick guards. And that's the perfect matchup for Momni, and he has absolutely delivered on his promise that he was ready.
Yeah, Momni is the guy at the five. He's going to get he won't play 40, but he'll play as close to 40 as he is able to. You know, and I don't know that. Yeah, I don't think you'll see any combinations of Momni Jack or Momni Jay Huff necessarily out there at all in that game. I think it's going to be one guy, and it's going to mostly be Momni out there. And he's been so effective that that's made that really work for UVA. One last thought, and then we'll let you go because you got to get ready. Get on a plane here tomorrow morning. Ty Jerome, I think his size is going to be an issue here with Auburn. We've talked so much about what Auburn does offensively and defensively, and we talked about how Virginia will respond defensively. K.A. Clark is so important. You know, Momni Diakite, of course. I think Jerome, with his size at 6'5", one of the Auburn guards, and his ability to get into the lane and do whatever he does in a lane, either that little short teardrop jumper, you know, if he's able to draw attention and you know, dump the ball down the pocket to Hunter or Diakite, kick it out to Guy for a three, or Hunter for a three. I think his size and his ability to get in the lane, which we've seen him display pretty consistently this season, I think that's going to be a key. And I wanted to get your thoughts on the importance of Ty Jerome in this one.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, Ty Jerome is a big guard who can shoot the three, but he also can get in the post, give you a little bit of a post-up game, and off the dribble as well. I think he's really the guy that's going to be responsible for making sure UVA keeps its tempo correct in this game. You know, you talk about Kihei Clark as a guy who has run a lot of points to kind of allow Ty to get some off-ball time, which you absolutely need. You can't be point guard all 40 minutes, no matter who you are. That's really, really a lot to ask. I think Ty Jerome can use his size to an advantage. I don't think UVA has to alter too much what they do. I think they need to be a little bit more aware of, you know, maybe some traps or some really high on-ball pressure from Auburn. But again, you've seen Ty Jerome handle those things time and again. He's seen these things throughout the season. He's going to have to continue to be that leader, that calming factor. And I think you're right. He can use his size at points. I think Auburn's guards aren't very big. Their forwards have some pretty good size, so we'll see who ends up in that matchup there. I think that far and away the biggest responsibility for Ty Jerome is going to be, all right, you know, Auburn forced us into a couple turnovers. Let's get a good possession here. Basically, against Auburn, if you can get a shot up, that's a victory. Auburn's not a very good field goal percentage defense. The reason that their defense is good is because teams don't get a lot of field goals against them. They don't get to shoot the ball that often. So as long as Ty Jerome can keep things orchestrated and keep things calm, he can be a really important and really influential piece of this game.
All right, as we finish up here, we've been very professional breaking this game down. Now I've got to ask you, Zach, you're going to a Final Four. I'm going to a Final Four, too. It's the first time in my life I'll ever have been to a Final Four. I've always said I didn't want to go unless a Virginia team was in it, which meant who knows if we ever would get to go to one. So for you personally, you're going to be sitting courtside at the most intense basketball game you'll have ever sat courtside for. Has it sunk in yet that that's actually going to be happening here in a couple of days?
It's sunk in a little bit right before this podcast. I actually just checked in for my flight tomorrow afternoon, and that made it hit me a little bit, but I think really, you know, when I step into U.S. Bank Stadium and see the court, and, you know, there's nothing like being there for the first time. I remember when I was a kid and I went to my first football game or my first basketball game, and it was just, you know, you see the court, you see the shine, you see the players up close, you see the Final Four logos everywhere, and you realize I'm really here. So I'm thinking in about, 36, 48 hours from now on Friday when I walk in and I'm talking, you know, and we're talking to the players and in the press conferences, I think that'll really hit me that Virginia's at a Final Four and I'm there with them.
I'll say, you know, for the fans out there listening, this is one reason as a writer you do go to the games and cover the games. You know, having watched a lot of NCAA tournament games on TV until, gosh, because the first NCAA tournament game I covered was in 2014, actually, when UVA, that year's team had won the ACC tournament for the first time in 38 years for the UVA program. And so we followed the team down to Raleigh, then we went to Madison Square Garden. And you always hear this point made that, you know, no matter what you think the intensity of an NCAA tournament game is, it's so much more when you're in the arena. And because I've started saying it this way, every game in an NCAA tournament is game seven. You know, we put so much in professional sports on game sevens, either in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the NBA playoffs, a World Series, whatever else. And game seven, wow, we got to a game seven. Well, every game in NCAA tournament is a game seven because it's an elimination game. Now, it's a one-and-done kind of game. And so, you know, the first game I covered, UVA was a one seed playing Coastal Carolina, the 16, and they're down 10 points in the first half of that one. And you could feel the intensity. I mean, I was sick to the stomach as a reporter sitting there courtside. Of course, Virginia comes back and wins by 15 points, just like they did this year, actually, against Gardner-Webb. There's a pattern there, unfortunately. But so I say all that to say this. I can only imagine. I mean, I know that feeling. I think you've covered NCAA tournaments before when you were at Northwestern. I just don't know. I do know, but I don't know what that feeling is going to be like when I walk in Saturday. I won't see the court or anything until Saturday afternoon, about an hour and a half before tip. I do know and don't know what that's going to feel like, because, wow, that's the biggest stage in college sports. I just can't wait to be a part of that, but it's going to be the feeling of that is going to be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right. I covered the first and second rounds when I was at Northwestern, and the one seed there was Gonzaga, and obviously it was history for Northwestern, so that was a kind of a different aspect. But this is history for UVA for the first time in 35 years, so it's the grandest stage. I don't think that you can really ask for more. I think, you know, as a reporter covering college basketball, this is about as good as it gets, and I'm just ecstatic to be going out there.
Well, we're lucky to have you, and this is going to be a fun experience to be able to share as we are able to do this these next few days. Well, safe travel, Zach. And next time we talk, we're going to be in Minneapolis. So I look forward to seeing you there.
That's right. All right. See you there.